Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Everything DMV Radio. Today we have Google in plain sight with Hidden Black's Law. Welcome to the show, fellas. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. So today we have Hidden Black's Law, Google in plain sight, here with you on Everything DMV Radio. I'm Bach. What we got today for them, fellas?
Well, as you, per the usual, let me kick it off with this disclaimer right here. This broadcast is for informational and referential purposes. This is not legal advice to be taken at face value. Note-taking is highly encouraged. Sources cited herein will be Black's Law Dictionary, the United States Constitution, and the Maryland State Constitution, and also U.S. case law. And to segue into what we'll be discussing today, I would actually like to read you some U.S. case law that enforces constitutional limits on conduct by law enforcement. And you can find this in 18
Department
U.S.
Justice website.
Huh?
Department of Justice website also.
Site. Okay,
yeah,
cool. Well, here's the relevant portion then. Whoever, under color of any law, willfully subjects any person to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States shall be guilty of a crime. And with that, out to Google.
Yeah, so this is basically a reiteration of last week's podcast due to the fact that the SIG couldn't get a good signal and the cell phone coverage was making it very unclear for me to be heard. And last time what we spoke of, if I'm not mistaken, is what you do when you are put into a situation and what will happen if you are come in contact with police or cops or a law enforcement official, and what you do once you get into contact with them. The first thing is, let's start with just the lights themselves, okay? The craziest part about the lights on a cop's car or patrolman's car, whatever you want to call them, is those are called emergency lights. And those emergency lights are supposed to only be allowed to put on in cases of emergency. So when you see those flashing lights behind you, they're only supposed to be used in case of emergency.
So like an accident.
Those lights, yeah. Go ahead.
No, that's all.
Okay. Well, and saying that is, that means they are literally calling everything they do an emergency. And everyone knows that when you're stopped at a traffic stop, that is not an emergency. Now, they will try to tell you and use semantics and say it's for their own safety. Well, they have hazard lights. So why do you not use hazard lights? Those are for your safety, are they not? So they will literally try to – they don't know what they're supposed to be doing and what their job entitled. So you always have to go into it knowing that trying to get – legal remedy or trying to get law enforcement to understand their own job is virtually impossible because 99% of them do not know their job. They only know what they've been told. And a lot of their job, they go over, they use assumptions. They just assume. They don't really know, so they just assume, because it's easier to assume than actually, you know, go ahead and look up the information.
So you were saying about the whites.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so from the moment you've been pulled to the side and they're flashing emergency lights at you, there's probably some action you want to ensue before the moment you ever even speak with one of those state employees. Because, like you said, they are not trained to actually deal in reality. They're trained to deal in assumptions that land them in a position to inconvenience you in some way or another.
So, like I said, this is a reiteration of last time. You do not have to wind down your window. No matter how many times they will tell you, no matter how much they will yell at you, no matter how much they will try to get angry, and the fact they will get angry at someone for not winding down a window shows you their level of restraint in the first place. But they will tell you all day that you have to wind down your window because they say so. The only thing during and interaction with another is just making sure that each individual can be heard at that altercation. So a crack of the window so that the voice can be heard is plenty. No matter how much they'll try to tell you what the law says. Because if you actually ask them, what law is that? They won't answer. They'll just get mad. They'll just get mad and be like, oh, so you're just not going to listen. That's what they'll say. They won't actually tell you because there is none. And actually, you are advised not to. If you actually do read up on it, they advise you not to because you don't know if this person is law enforcement or not. Because a lot of times they try to show up in unmarked cars, unmarked vehicles. So an unmarked vehicle does not make you a cop. It just means you have an unmarked vehicle. I don't know who you are. So it is not in your best interest, in the interest of safety, to wind down your window all the way. You can get kidnapped if you wind down your window all the way. Because that means now the individual who you are talking to can reach into your automobile, reach into your private property, and just grab you. And now that leads to another situation. So it is not advised ever, even by the courts, to wind down your window all the way. Or enough for someone to reach into your car. If they are going to interact with you, always remember you do not have to answer any questions. The only thing you can say, or if you really want to say, I do sometimes myself, is say, am I free to go? Are you detaining me? Am I free to go? Just keep repeating it. You don't have to say anything else. You don't have to give them your name. You don't have to give them anything, because as public servants, they serve the public, meaning they cannot make demands. They can only ask questions. And if you choose not to answer any questions, that is your legal right not to choose to answer any questions. But as public servants, they must answer questions. So They'll try to circumvent answering the question as much as possible. Say, just keep repeating what they want to repeat instead of answering the question. If they still don't want to answer questions, always make sure you get badge number and name. Let them say officer whatever, because that's not their name. You want the badge number and their name.
So I would duly advise people to record these interactions from before any words are spoken. And
if you have access,
it allowed law enforcement to know that they are being recorded for the safety of everyone involved. So there's no need for any undue escalation.
Yes, they will even try to tell you that, yes, this is being recorded also. But as we all know, just because a cop or law enforcement records something doesn't mean it stays recorded. Somehow, some way. I'm not trying to say any way or the other, but somehow, some way, evidence likes to be deleted. And for some reason, it gets deleted when it's necessary, when it's in someone's best interest, especially when there are cases of assault or fraud cases that come up. Somehow there's always their cameras weren't working, or their voice recorder wasn't working at the same time that this altercation happened, or the evidence has been shown to be deleted and no one knows how. So make sure you always have a copy. I personally do live feed. I live feed, live stream everything to the internet via Periscope. That way it is recorded on my phone, is recorded on Periscope, and it is sent out to be seen by everyone at all times.
Smartest move.
The documentation. I present documentation. I have a list of laws and statutes, because they always try to use, well, that's not the law, whatever. So I'll even present them with their own statutes that give me legal remedy, that tell them what the situation is and how they're supposed to go about it as a law enforcement. I present Supreme Court law and ruling. I don't use in regular state Supreme Courts. I don't do anything more than that, because Supreme Court, as they say, is Supreme Court. And the Superior Court is the most Supreme Court. So if the Supreme Court upholds what the Superior Court says, then there is no leeway. That's it. There are many Supreme Court laws, many Supreme Court cases, I should say. Thompson versus Smith, when you're dealing with, like I said, traveling on highways and byways, Thompson versus Smith is a pivotal one that helps to understand, because it was clearly stated that traveling and driving are not the same thing. Automobile and vehicle are not the same thing. They're not interchangeable to suit the needs of the person trying to attempt to give you a charge. You
and
they
will
want
call
you. Yes,
and
they will call.
They'll call you a vehicle. The entire
duration
of the encounter.
I even had one instance where he said, "Well, I kept on saying stop calling it a vehicle because it's not a vehicle by Supreme Court law. It's an automobile." He was like, "Oh, well, let's just call it vehicle for this interaction." I was like, "No." They're not going to call it what you want to call it just for this, so you can get me into some kind of problem that I don't need. When you hand them documentation, they will get upset. There is this thing called an affidavit of truth, right? Affidavits are sworn testimonies that are notarized. That's how you know it's sworn, because a notary has signed it. A notary is basically a court-appointed position, legally court-appointed position, to where you are able to sign off on documentation due to your assertion that you will, you know, obey the law, and it is valid in a court of law. So when a notary signs off on it, that means these statements are said to be true, and they have to go by those statements. There is, when you have an affidavit of truth, everything I talk about, you can look up on Google. Affidavit of truth, affidavit of travel. Either or. It literally will tell you and states how at no point in time you are a citizen. I got the good music too. Is there music?
Yeah, I hear it.
It's nice and clear. You at no point in time under the government. You are the government. Nice. So a citizen, as we all know, and as we've said many times, is under the government. And you are not a citizen, you are the people. The people, different people are plural. So don't let them get you into semantics when they try to tell you you are a citizen. Because a citizen means that they are over the top of you and they can tell you what to do. And nobody wants to be told what to do, especially the government, and especially because our laws and constitutions specifically state that the people are over the government, not the other way around. So don't ever get yourself put in the position of a citizen. Is there anything you want to add?
Well, it only draws me to the logical conclusion that these interactions can only conclude in one of two ways based on the information you've presented. And through my deduction and also having been in prior incidents, I would, you know, it only boils down to the fact that either they'll let you, you'll go on your way because they'll know that the law has been shown to their face and they can't refute it, or they will continue the escalation of their fraud operation in blind, like, pretty much turning away the law that they know has been stated. And they decide to ramp up the level of fraud that they'll attempt in order to get what they want out of the situation.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I was going to say, and pretty much based on that, and we're rooting out, and you might as well root out the one where they go ahead and hand you your paperwork and allow you to go on your way. Where is the remedy on the other half of one of these encounters?
When you go to, because they're going to take you to a district court, and as I stated, a district court, I found out recently, is not actually a court of law because they don't deal with law. You can never have a trial by jury in a district court. You will always have to go up to superior court or from the district court. So that district court is not a trial by jury, so there's not for it's not court law. So trying to get legal remedy in a district court is almost mute and pointless. When you go, they have to make sure that everything of the trial you have clear understanding of. They will attempt to do one or two things, and this has been proven many times over. The cop or the law enforcement official or law enforcement individual will try to – the law enforcement individual will put you in a position to where he will give you back your documents. He will give you back your paperwork, but then he will also give you a citation with that. The reason being is he doesn't understand the paperwork that he just read because it refutes everything he's always been told. So he's just going to let someone else try to take care of it and try to handle it and get you into legal problems and legal issues than him, who is smarter about this, which would be the judge or the state's attorney or the district attorney or whoever they want to put in front of them. If you go to court, they will say things. First off, they will try to get you to be in their court system. They will continuously tell you, well, are you a citizen? And if you say no, and if you say you're sovereign, they'll say things like, oh, so you're a sovereign citizen. Well, sovereign citizen it's a ridiculous claim.
Yeah.
You can't be a sovereign and a citizen, because a citizen, by definition, is one who's under the government. A sovereign is one who is the government, which is the people. He is a state. He is literally a state unto himself, as by per Malian definition of sovereign. You are a state unto yourself, free to police yourself and rule over yourself. So don't let them try to confuse you with wording about sovereign citizen, because sovereign and citizen are not interchangeable. They are not the same thing. They will never be the same thing. So that's one way they'll try to trip you up. If you say, I just want clear understanding of all elements of the case, is there has jurisdiction been proven? And if so, I would like to see documentation of jurisdiction. They will get upset. They will get very upset because you're using wording that negates any relevance to negates their case automatically because they will never have jurisdiction. So they will just try to say, oh, so what we can do for you, since you don't have an understanding, we can get you a lawyer. And then by saying we are going to get you a lawyer, it's trying to tell you, hey, we're going to get somebody who's going to get this thing in our favor, in front of you, so he can tell you what to do. Lawyer's best interest is not you. His first duty is not to you as a client. A lawyer's first duty is always to the court. His job is to make sure the court does not look bad.
Isn't that inherent bias?
And yes, they have an inherent bias because they work with these people all the time, so there's no reason for them to actually help you. They have to help themselves because they need to continue to get court cases. They need to get income. They need money. They don't want to be able to stop their meals from coming in. So last thing they want is for you as a people, individual, coming into court, telling them they need to use these forms and tactics that will never get them a job with court and make their job that much easier with the court if they do have another case. Because courts of statutes, you are guilty until proven innocent. Courts of law, you are innocent until proven guilty. And actually, it's in court statutes even worse because you're not guilty until proven guilty. Which when you have not the word not guilty, you are implying that there is maybe some guilt there. You're implying that there may be guilt. So don't ever say not guilty. Even though they will get you angry, they will yell at you, they will do all this kind of stuff, try to hold you in contempt of court. It's just about how far are you willing to go to make sure that your laws, your rights, making sure that they do their job properly and they don't injure you, which is taking money away from you, taking away time from you by placing you in jail. Those things, those are all injury to a party, which you can later on sue them for in a civil suit most of the time. And you'll 99% of the time win. The problem is they don't want to look bad in front of everyone else that's in the courtroom at that moment. So you'll win. It just won't be that day. So it's all about how what are you willing to do, what are you willing to go through in order to make sure your rights are upheld and make sure that you as a people are considered that and you are left alone to go about your business in the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Plain sight?
There's levels to this game. And, beyond that, I can't say too much. I know you just mentioned how once they try to move you into their system, just avoiding all their attempts at taking jurisdiction out from underneath you. So on the other side of that, let's say we're dealing with courtroom procedures. Is there any form of paperwork? Like, I recall you mentioning motions.
Yes.
Or anything
to get out of any – so there's a couple things. Jurisdiction, right? You can ask for documentation of jurisdiction at any point in time. Doesn't matter whether it's a pretrial, doesn't matter if it's a hearing, it doesn't matter when it is. You can always ask for documentation of jurisdiction and legal standing. They will try to attempt to tell you, oh, we can't do that right here. Can't do that. You had to file that earlier. No. You can, look this up. You can Google it. When can jurisdiction be set? When can you question jurisdiction? You can question jurisdiction at any point in time, at any trial. Doesn't matter if it's criminal, civil, whatever. You can always challenge jurisdiction. You can challenge jurisdiction even after the child has been adjudicated. When they said they had the verdict, you can still challenge jurisdiction after that. So there's never a point in time that you cannot challenge jurisdiction. Also, I wanted to make this clear too. So a judge from a bench making a plea for you is not law. A judge from a bench cannot make a plea for you unless he considers you incompetent and unfit to stand trial. So if you're unfit to stand trial, the only thing he can actually do is say unfit to stand trial, so this is a mistrial. Or he has to just let go of proceedings because you are unfit to stand trial. You or do not understand. If a judge makes any ruling beside that, saying that, you know what, I'm going to enter a plea of not guilty for you, which they love to do, that is not law. He cannot do that by law. He has to prove that you were mentally unfit and unstable to make a plea yourself. You can always even say, I would love to make a plea, I just want understanding. I'll even enter a plea of guilty. You can even say, I will enter a plea of guilty if you can prove to me and show me where these things have been met, where you can show me that you have jurisdiction. Well, they'll never be able to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never be able to prove that. All he'll say is, well, we have it. That's the only thing he can ever say is we have it. He will never try to prove it, even though by law he has to prove it. And it has to be in every trial because it's an element of a case. It has to meet all the elements of a case for there to be a trial. He will never try to prove it because it's bad for business.
Elliot, it can't be proven.
And can't be proven. So it makes him look bad.
And so it sounds like the linchpin of your common law protection of individual rights, or as, you know, a state or a republic, is solely linked to jurisdiction, as you said, like over yourself and not allowing yourself to ever be subverted or subjugated to the ruling of the government policy.
Yes, yes. You don't want to ever be under someone else's jurisdiction because by law, everyone has their own has jurisdiction over themselves. No court can have jurisdiction over you unless you have injured someone or injured a party. You have to injure their property. You have to injure the people themselves. There has to be some injury. They have to be able to have some claim. And when you're dealing with, especially when you're dealing with traveling automobiles, a government or a state trooper or a cop or a court, they don't have any They don't have any rights to your property. They don't have any They don't have any reason to. They don't have any claims to your property. They don't have any claims to it. They did not put in money for the car, so they have no claim to the property. They have no rights of the property because they are not paying for the property. It's not their property. And if they stay, this is you. You have to do this. You have to pay this. Well, you have to prove that you have some rights to this property.
Yeah, I never forfeited ownership of said property.
Yes. So always remember, do not wind out your window. Do not do anything that's going to hurt you in any way.
I can't argue any of that information. And, of course, I'll just take a point from a wise man and say that I'd like to leave this podcast on the note of noting that an educated man makes a poor slave.
Educated man does make a poor slave.
Awesome, fellas. Great show today. I look forward to next Tuesday. You guys are giving us some great information. Thanks so much for all your work. And this is Hidden Black's Law, overstanding what they don't want to tell you. Thanks for tuning in.